Welcome. This is Winning at Life. This is the weekly wrap. That's what I'm going to start calling it, because it is. It's Saturday. Where else do you get what happens during the week? What happened in the market yesterday? Where else do you get that? You get that here on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, 401k and Retirement Authority.
So there's the daily wrap, and this is the weekly wrap.
Yeah.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. We want to welcome our newest affiliates, WBUV in Biloxi, hearing our Saturday extravaganza for the first time. Some of you guys tuning in during the week may have already been introduced to us, but for those of you who are new, my name's James Parker. This guy across the table from me is a financial supercomputer of information. So if you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory. 504-260-0995 is the phone number. You can also send us a text via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way, Gregory@GregoryRicks.com. We still get emails. We'll answer those, too. And we're going to be here until 1 o'clock to give you financial news, financial guidance, financial education, and answer your financial questions. Starting right off the bat, a lot of financial news of the week, some things we're going to get to in the show. We're going to talk about our Women Winning at Life event coming up this Wednesday. We're going to talk about the stocks who were basically taking a nap for the last 2 months. They woke up and went straight down yesterday. What's going on with that? We're going to tell you the story of the rise and fall of the American pensions. And in the 11 o'clock hour, we have a guest coming in, Wes Blanchard. He is the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority of Gregory Ricks and Associates. And he's our go-to guy for all things that have to do with wills, trusts, powers of attorney, end-of-life planning. It's good to have a legal mind in here. So if you have a legal question, 11 o'clock is going to be your hour. So, Gregory Ricks, what's on your mind this Saturday?
A lot of stuff.
Wait. What is this? You're on the cover of Senior Living Magazine?
Yes, I made the cover.
Were you going to tell me you just brought it in and set it on the table? Like, I'm just going to leave this on the dresser right here.
This is telling you.
Okay. Very cool. That's a good picture of you, too.
I've heard that phrase before. Learned it from somebody I know. This is telling you.
So you're on the cover of Senior Living Magazine, cover story, Winning at Life in Retirement with Gregory Ricks and Associates, your game plan for wealth management. All right. They got the picture. Oh, this is in the home studio.
Yeah, actually, we did two different photo shoots. You can look, it's kind of in the center there, the story.
You're the centerfold? Does it unfold out and we get a full body shot?
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
This isn't a picture-only magazine.
No, I read
articles and stories, you know.
I read Senior Living for the articles, Gregory. Well, this is good use here. Oh, and it's got a photo of you with the big check. See, that's the sexy shot right there with big check. You're handing it out to the World War II Museum, some fundraisers that we have done
so
in the past.
We did a photo shoot at the office and then at the studio, and you can see they ran mostly with the studio pics.
A big problem here. No Parker. Where's the Parker? No Parker in there? James Free?
Not enough Parker?
No.
Yeah,
nope.
James Free.
Unacceptable.
Well, we'll get you on a cover, and then there can be more Parker.
So,
less me. I don't really see that happening. I think it'll stay more me.
Yeah, so September 2016 edition of Senior Living Magazine, Gregory Ricks on the cover.
Yeah. Just with what's going on in the market, what we've had the past few days, and that's one thing cool about what we do is, you know, and you hear a lot of financial shows on radio, but rarely is any of them live. Now, TV, you can get a lot of financial update, but that doesn't necessarily fit everybody's schedule. And that's one reason we do this show. We've expanded this show to other markets to give everybody a different take on what's going on. And then sometimes I'm reminded from meetings I have during the week that there's some things we don't talk about often enough. And it comes down to how firms imply or represent themselves as the all-out answer. And it's rare that somebody's going to have the all answer for everybody. You know, where it comes down to, we deal in the three financial worlds, and we'll help with another one. But, you know, it's the banking world, Wall Street world and insured money world. You know, from the banking world, you know, Fidelity Investments is our custodian, but they are also a bank. So we can deal with CD shopping, do credit card, check writing through Fidelity Investments. Hold emergency cash.
No opening of ghost accounts, though.
No opening of ghost accounts. Okay. Now, we have those services available, but you know, when we provide them is when somebody really asks. I'm not there to try to open credit card accounts or checking accounts and such as that. Those are convenience factors that are available because we do have the banking side with Fidelity Investments. Then you talk about the Wall Street side. What all do you do there? Just about anything that can be done. But at the core would be, you know, the mutual funds, ETFs, individual stocks, money management strategies, active money management. We really are not a buy and hold firm. Just like, you know, we don't want to hold positions and talk you into staying the course when things get ugly. We are doing research and studies, and we'll have a variation of buy and hold that clients can choose, but it's still going to have a exit for the market going bad, and one of those is the 100-day moving average. So I would call it a modified version of buy and hold. You just don't want to ride the market down in a 08 or 02 type of event, and even in corrections, you may not get back at an advantage point, but when the market goes off the rails, how far is it going to go? You ultimately don't know, but you want to have peace of mind of either dialing it back or getting away from it. So our overall philosophy is to be loss averse. Have a game plan for when the market corrects or goes bad, or individual positions that you hold as well. Then on the insured money side is where we deal in protected principal, you know, backed up by insurance companies, guaranteed contracts like fixed interest annuities, fixed indexed annuities. And we can correlate all of those financial tools with our GPS roadmap. We do stress testing. We do income stress testing now as well. And I really don't hear talk about anybody else that can correlate all three of those worlds and not have a bias. You know, and we were having a conversation with an individual that came in the other day, and he talked to another firm, and basically, you know, what's riled me a little bit is they probably spent most of the meeting bashing me. And guess what they do? Annuity only. So how can they be the fixed all when all they do is one thing? How do they correlate the assets? How do they give you guidance on the 401k? How do they move the assets when they don't have the ability to work with a brokerage firm to ACAT that? What are they doing? 60-day rollovers or something dangerous like that? Oh, sell your position, bring us the cash, or bring us the check there. So moving on to that, on the annuity side, I think there's a lot of misconceptions there. It is not the one-all fix. You can't put all of your money into fixed annuities. They may make it sound like you can load everything there, but what's the big negative on annuities?
The lack of liquidity.
A surrender period.
Right.
It is liquid, but for a fee. And I'm good with that. I would never want to put money in anything I can't demand it out of. I would rather pay a fee than you tell me you can't get your money out. So we don't want to do that. We'd rather pay a fee. But that's also why you can't put all of your money in that world. You can put a portion of it that works because you can treat it as bond-like or pension-like money. Long as you account for the liquidity, and typically they do have liquidity such as 10% free withdrawals is kind of the standard. Some of the contracts vary a little bit on that. But if they can't help, you know, work in the Wall Street market, how are you correlating those assets? Now you're dealing with two firms, and they can't talk to you about the equity money or managed money. So how are you actually correlating that? Because they don't have licenses to do so. If they have the proper licenses, such as a registered investment advisor, yeah, they could work in multiple worlds. And the one, when I say we kind of help on the fourth, that's real estate. We don't manage real estate, but I have a pretty good understanding and how to correlate it with other assets to make sure we have an understanding of what income's coming in, how's it coming in, the tax efficiency, the structuring of that. I guess we got to go to a break, pay some bills.
Yeah, I'm going to hit pause on my Gregory Ricks remote. It's funny you bring that up because I saw an article. Someone wrote in for a financial advice column. Hey, I just inherited $250,000. What should I do? And all the discussion was, what should be your mix of stocks and bonds? I imagine if that went to the annuity guy, I know what we're doing with this.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily, it depends, can't tell which side.
All right, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Welcome. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. I'm your co-host, James Parker. You're listening to iHeartRadio. Happy Saturday. How you doing? So we're in the middle of talking about financial advice, financial news, and if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory. 504-260-0995. You can send us your question via text in the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or go to Gregory at GregoryRicks.com for an email. Also on the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, our podcast. If this is your first show you're here and you want to hear some more, go check out the podcast. We have just hours and hours and hours of financial broadcasting genius already stored on that app.
iHeartRadio app.
Well, no, I'm talking about the Gregory Ricks and Associates.
I know, but I want them to
do that
one
too.
They need to download that one as well so they can link up to the show no matter where they are.
I'm kind of interested in these people that spent most of the meeting with the client talking about you.
Yeah, well, you can tell we affect the marketplace there with the stories we tell, coaching up people, whether they're meeting with us or another firm. And you know what? I think people should talk to other firms. But yeah, I was told a story this week of another firm spent most of their meeting bashing us, and they're kind of one-sided. They want to beat up on us, and instead of, maybe they suck at what they do. You know, if that's their focus is to talk about a competitor, how often do I talk about a competitor?
You haven't named one ever.
I don't never talk about competitors. I don't have time in my meetings. We've got to get into what's going on with them. What are they needing? Answer their questions about the market, the strategies, find out what's working for them, what's not, what are their goals, what are the purpose of their money. We want to cover our fees as well, and we want to talk about our communication systems of how often we communicate with clients, and I don't think anybody ever communicates as much as we do. I've not done a poll, but I'm just saying I don't think they do with all the ways that we can touch clients. So if you're and look, I have the financial community listens, and you know, it goes back to story in my early days. We've been doing this show for
6 years,
yeah, going on seven. That's, you know, it's a, you know, when your kids get to be teenagers, they're not going to talk about I'm 16. No, I'm going on 17.
I'm 16 and a half.
Yeah, I'm almost 18. Well, you're 9 months away. Well, I'm still almost there compared to the grand scheme of things. I'm closer to 18 than I was 5.
Meanwhile, I'm 39 and I'm in my mid-30s, y'all. I'm in my mid-30s.
You'll just say, yeah, I'm in my 30s.
And they're never
pushing. You're almost 40, dude.
I'm pushing 40. You were never pushing 17, were you? Pushing 40. Like it's a struggle already just to not die before my next birthday. So 6 and a half. Going on 7 years.
Yeah, and we give out information. When I started doing this, I worried a little bit because we were having a function and listeners were gathered, and it was kind of a WRNO event. You know, where in the past we've done that, sometimes go to a restaurant, hang out, and invite listeners and such. And a gentleman sat down and was talking to me, and he's in the financial business. A little bit different tact, but he says, gosh, I learned so much from your show, and I even used some of the things you say. I'm like, what? How do we ban those listeners there? Is there a button they could be like blocked, you know, like caller ID or something, block the caller? And then I read this story about a farmer, and they asked him, you know, and he just grew the best corn ever. And he had this little thing he would do is he would give others his seed. And he said, you know, if everybody else is growing inferior corn, it's going to erode my corn. I would rather help them do better, which makes mine do even better. So what do I want to do? I don't hold back. I tell it like I see it. We educate. And if we help the others do a better job, then they should. Because what we don't want is people messing things up, hurting people financially. You know, it is about doing the right thing and doing better. So if we help others in our business do a better job for their clients, then should. But we're also going to tell the clients what to look out for. You know, and I think you should use somebody that's fully licensed that can work in all three financial worlds. You have some of the major brokers, wirehouses, large firms, the banks, and they'll have a brokerage division, but they're really not working in all three worlds either. You know, and where people will come in, and let's go in defense of fixed annuities or fixed indexed annuities, where they will get bashed. And why are they being bashed? Because the firm can't handle those financial tools. Is there a place for them? Absolutely. Billions of dollars would not move into those financial tools if they weren't worth the darn. Does it mean everybody should have them and their portfolio be full of them? Probably not. In some cases, could it be justified? Yeah, I think so, because it has in the past. But how the rules have evolved and how regulators look at it, that's not going to happen. And even the insurance companies taking the business are monitoring it, and they're not going to let it happen. If they don't want the client to be overweighted, what's the main reason? Surrender periods. If there was not a surrender period, meaning like a Wall Street account or Fidelity Investments account, this, hey, and I was asked this question about her balanced income portfolio. What if I wanted to get all my money out? I said, we could push the button and sell it all within a minute or two. You could be completely out, 3-day settlement date, and the check could be on the way to you or move the money. That it's easy. And I said, we're not here to talk you out of doing something with your money. And you call up and say, hey, I want 100% of my money, or I want $100,000. We're not giving you a hard time about your money. I said, if you want to fire me, we make it really easy. Because on the other end, I don't beg you to bring the money over. Nobody pressures you. And if you're asking for your money, we make sure you get it. If you're wanting to cash the account and go another direction, it's real easy. You just ask for it and we do it. We're not going to beg you to stay because we don't beg you to come. And I don't think anybody should ever feel any type of pressure on doing anything where you get a salesman selling one type of product, whether it's a brokerage firm or an insurance company products, then you've got that bias and that pressure.
And is it like the cable company? Some of these guys, when you call in, you're like, all right, I want to cancel my cable. And they're like, no, we'll give you a new offer. We'll give you 3 months free. And then a year after that, you're going to pay like $4.50 and we'll throw in a free DVR for you. They'll just try and jump around and get you to stay.
Yeah. On the brokerage side, Wall Street side, where you have money at risk, I talk to people that have fear of going through that process because they all say, well, can you handle it for me? We absolutely can handle 100% of moving the assets. You don't have to go to your person. You don't have to have a discussion. Our back office fully takes care of the process. But some of them are fearing, and I hear stories of how, their person, I call them and give them a really hard time over moving it. And some of the statements sometimes is just unbelievable. You've affected my retirement. You've affected my income, or get real mad, snooty, ugly with them. And whose money is? It's the client's money. You're there to be of service, help, and guide them. If they choose to not use you any longer, let it go. And move on.
And how flimsy is your business that you're going to be destroyed by a client leaving?
Pretty flimsy.
Yeah.
If a client affects your business, your firm, or income, it's pretty flimsy. And the same on the annuity side, clients shouldn't be given a hard time or felt pressured to do something. It should be a decision process, and they probably should go and sleep on it. One of my core rules is, don't let somebody, whether you're buying a gold bar, car lot, putting your money in annuity, or making a decision on a risk investment, pretty easy. If you want to sleep on it, go ahead. There was a meeting a couple weeks ago, and the husband was wanting to move forward, but I felt like the wife was tapping the brakes. She didn't say so, but I felt it. And I said, I sense here that y'all might want to go home and talk about it. Because he was like, he's ready to go forward. So if I was going to be the pushy, the closer, the salesman, I could have got it done. But my instinct was, y'all probably should go home and talk about it. They came back in a few days later and became clients. But you know what was more comfortable? That, being given that room to talk about it, because I'll tell you, 9 times out of 10 elsewhere, what are they doing? Being pushed to do that account paperwork.
And then they're going to be second guessing their decision for the weeks to come. Do we do the right thing? We do the right thing. Now they don't worry about them. 504-260-0995. If you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory. We're going to get to some financial news of the week and what happened that could affect your money. That's coming up next. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Hi, this is Gregory Ricks. You're listening to Winning at Life. This is the weekend wrap. This is where you get your financial fix.
Wait now, is it the weekend wrap or the weekly wrap?
I'm not locked into that. We've had changes going into other markets. The weeknight show is the daily wrap.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to wrap up the week here. So how do we best describe that?
Weekend or weekly? Angie, you're going to be the tiebreaker. Weekly wrap?
The weekly wrap. Yeah.
Man, I was leaning weekend wrap. Yeah, but if we do it on... Yeah, I guess weekend wrap sounds like we're just wrapping up Saturday and Sunday, maybe. All right. Well, yeah. You win.
Weekly wrap works for us.
Not planting my flag on this one. Go ahead.
And you are listening to us on iHeartRadio. Especially if you're not on that terrestrial car radio or home radio. You're listening to your app, the iHeartRadio app. If you don't have it, download it so you can catch us. Sometimes we're preempted in some of the markets that we're in, but we are still on and we're on the stream all the time. So just tune in and catch us through iHeartRadio.
Yeah, as well. Like for our new affiliate, you guys over in Biloxi, if you were listening to us during the week and then you turn it on last night and there's high school football, look, we all love high school football, but we are still available on the stream. if you're not interested in football, we're still doing the show. And if you go to the iHeartRadio app and you look up News Talk 104.9 WBUV, it'll pop right up and you can listen to us there. And for our listeners during basketball season, I know you're a flagship for the Pelicans. And actually, we're the flagship for the Pelicans. You're an affiliate of the Pelicans. When a Pelicans game is on and over the air, we're still on the stream. So we're doing the show 6 days a week, no matter what. You just got to find us. If we're not on the air, the iHeartRadio app is your backup plan.
We are always on. So it's kind of, we do this 6 days a week. Weeknights, we do our show at 7. And on Saturday here, we're live from 10 to 1 as well. It's a live show on weeknights. Most nights, once in a while, we have to pre-tape because of scheduling or as such, or best of. But most of the time, it's a live call-in show, just like it is today, from 10 to 1. You can call us at 504-260-0995 if you have a financial situation you like help with. That email would be gregory@gregoryricks.com. Let's see, what else? And download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. You can message us through that. The website has a site chat and other links to coordinate with us. So even if you're wanting to contact my firm during the week or interact, get more information, see how we could help you, you're outside the area and looking for somebody to work with, we have vetted people in those areas. And just tell you more about us, since we have expanding audiences. Our home base is New Orleans metro area, South Louisiana as well. So, but once again, you're looking for some help, financial situation that's more pertinent to helping you directly than a call in on radio show, you call the office, 504-832-9200. Well, just kind of want to wrap up on what I was talking about this morning, but I think, once again, clear up a few myths. And, when we get back to the three worlds, the banking world, Wall Street world, and we've kind of talked about annuities, positive and negative today, but annuity is more of a generic description because the Wall Street world has the variable annuities, which are risk correlated. They're not a guaranteed product. Sometimes they represent them as having guarantees, but that's because they add an income rider or death benefit. Variable financial tools have higher fees and are correlated to risk because inside of it, it's just a wrapper for mutual funds, which the mutual funds on average have about a 1% expense ratio. You'll have maintenance and expense fees that typically run 1 to 1.5. And then if you're adding riders, say an income rider, that's another percent. So all of a sudden you're at 3% before you start making money on an annual basis. They also have surrender periods. So the income rider could keep the income value that could be generated from the company to you in the future, can always keep that as positive or a growing number, where you could have the actual account value getting ugly. And then on the flip side of that, what's the difference? Fixed indexed annuity can have an income rider that makes sure the income capability of the asset grows at a specific value over time. On the account value, there is no market correlation, meaning you're not directly in the market, so you cannot be exposed to downside risk of the market. Now, do fixed annuities have fees like variable? Not like variable. Typically, the only fee you're going to have is for that income rider. And I've seen those range from what, 0.5% to, I think lately, I've seen some at 1.1% as well. Couple of points. Look, you need to get a second opinion on those to make sure it's correlated right, looking at your overall asset, especially if the people you're dealing with own that. That's all they do is fixed annuities, or if all they do is variable annuities, or you get that sense that that's all they want to focus on, you really should get a second opinion no matter what.
Well, they only have one tool in the toolbox.
Yeah, so that should tell you right there to I may need to see if this is the best thing. Department of Labor ruling, the fiduciary rule that's going into effect next year is going to be a game changer. You're probably going to see a lot of these firms, especially the One World firms, probably go away. It's going to dramatically affect them. And another thing you can ask them, how much are you getting paid for this financial tool?
As in, how much money are you making off of this transaction?
Yeah, how much money are you making on this transaction? Ask them, see what their response is. They could be making 6, 7, 8%. You think that might give them some bias? We found that out about REITs is because they changed the rule on REITs. REITs, you know, why were so many people being forced and pushed into REITs? You always see them in the portfolios. They're making about 7%. The Wall Street world that would put money into people's money into REITs, it just is a high compensation strategy. And they're making like 7% up front. Ridiculous for that. Now they have limitations put on that, and this income is spread more over time. You're going to see that more so in the annuity side in the future, but just straight up ask them, especially if that's all they can talk to you about. What's that incentive? Why are you so struck on trying to get all my money into that?
Well, look, let's do this column here, because this was in CNN Money, and the headline is, how should I invest a $250,000 windfall today? And this woman said, I just inherited $250,000, some woman out of Connecticut. How should I invest it? What should I do with it? This guy must be a broker. This guy must be, you know, because the saying, to the man who only has a hammer, everything looks like a nail. He started talking about the stock market. He started talking about depending on your age. And then he started talking about a stock and bond mix. Not set 500 or 50,000 aside for an emergency fund, and then with the rest of it, let's split it up into something more conservative, something more risky. Not pay off your house first or get rid of your credit card debt, and then with the money you have left, you know, like write the financial ship, and then with the rest of that money, here's some of your options. It was immediately, well, you know, the S&P's kind of at a high right now, so taking that in consideration with your age, sort of a good rule of thumb would be. And then he started talking stock and bond mix. He didn't mention anything about annuities versus bonds versus this risk versus this mutual fund versus an ETF versus savings, nothing. So that is
well, see,
that's the One World guy.
If you're going to be the fiduciary and try to give clients options, meaning all you can talk to them about is that, because when you have that risk conversation, are you a one, you know, we break it down to narrow it down by looking at, are you a 1, 2, 3, or 4 to simplify
your risk tolerance?
Yeah. And a 4 means I don't want any negative. I don't want to lose a penny. I've got a client that, and where we are, he's probably retiring next 24, 48 months, 7-figure account. He's a 4. He doesn't want any risk. And one of the recent conversations we had, he said, well, can I get any more money into fixed annuities? I said, no, we're done there. We're just going to be CD shopping.
All right.
And we'll do that through the Fidelity banking world.
All right, quick break. When we return, I'm going to ask you, what if I just inherited $250,000? How would the process sound when Gregory Ricks breaks it down? And if you have a financial question, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to Winning at Life. This is the weekly wrap with Gregory Ricks, Louisiana's 401k retirement authority. James Parker's in studio with me, co-host extraordinaire. You're either listening to us in one of our local markets or to iHeartRadio.
All right. When we stepped away, we were talking about this is really the difference between a broker and a fiduciary. When we talk about these guys who only work in one product or one world of finances, they're brokers. They're salesmen selling you a product. And that's probably the best comparison. The butcher versus the dietitian, the one that we got from the great Elliot Weisbluth. And why is that funny?
It's good.
It is.
Details.
It's the perfect metaphor is what it is, because it's the same thing. When you go to a butcher and you ask, hey, what should I get for dinner? He's going to sell you meat. Doesn't matter if you need meat, if you really deserve
meat. Kansas
City ribs,
prime rib from Dallas.
He's not going to say, hey, you need to eat a salad. No, there may need to be a salad involved, but he's selling you meat. You go to a dietitian, she's going to look at you and be like, you may want to back off the meat a little bit, but she's going to take a bunch of tests. She's going to ask you a bunch of questions first. She's not even going to pretend to know what you should eat for dinner until she finds out more about you, and that's kind of what we do. And then she'll tell you, maybe you need some meat, maybe you need some salad, maybe you need some vegetables, maybe you're a diabetic and you need to stop eating sugar. But it's sort of a more holistic approach, generally speaking, and she's not there or he's not there to sell you a product. They're not a broker. So the one that was staring me in the face, how should I invest a $250,000 windfall? A woman from Connecticut writes into CNN Money, and the guy just went straight to stocks and bonds. No discussion. No, do you have any debt? Do you need to settle any debt? But if I came to you, you would ask 20 questions probably before you could even begin to tell them where that money is going to go.
Yeah, first off, we have to make, in this case, have to make some assumptions, but I can't give just one answer. I can't treat it like she, say, for example, is a 2, meaning I can tolerate 6% down over a short period of time and maybe have a 8 to 10% upside tolerance. We have plenty of tolerance for this thing moving up.
Sure.
It's that downside. And then also trying to figure out, are they accurate on their tolerance? Because we're not going to just speak in percentage, but, you know, let's say 200,000 of that did go to equities. A 6% tolerance to the downside means you won't get bent out of shape if this thing moves down $10,000 to $12,000 for a short period of time. You know, when you start looking at it that way, it's not 6%, but it's 12 grand. Or if you're looking at all up, then you're talking 15 grand negative movement. So you've got to have that conversation. So then she might be a 3. Okay, I can tolerate a few percentage points, say a negative 3. Because we had talked about earlier, the 4 is, are you 0 on tolerance? That's pretty much going to probably be CDs, cash, fixed annuities in the mix. You've got to use financial tools that protect the money and don't allow negative downside. Now, if you have some tolerance, then maybe you can get into that treasury bond mix along with fixed annuities, because the fixed annuities we would treat more as bond-like, but there is no downside risk to that. Then we would use balanced income as an example, which is treasury and short duration bonds. In this market, you want to be short duration, not long, because interest rate hikes, say you're using 30-year treasuries, a 1% push up in interest rate is a negative 21% hit. So you don't want to be in something really long duration. And what do we typically see when assets come over and people have bonds? Long durations out there. So we don't want that. So you've got to find out where they're going to be. And I would probably say, what would we talk about? Just offhand, making assumptions, is try to find that balance that makes them comfortable with risk, assuming they're tolerant to some.
All right, let's hear from Elliot Weisbluth, the butcher versus the dietitian.
So you guys don't know Chicago, but I'm sure in your neighborhood you guys have an old school butcher. Where you walk in, and there's a bunch of guys, no gloves, big white aprons, and there's Frank, and there's Stevie, and there's Mikey. And these guys know more about meat, and more about animals, and more about cooking the meat than any of us will ever learn. And so you walk in, and you say, hey, Lou, I'm barbecuing this weekend, right? What do you like? And Lou goes to, you know, the big racks of stuff he has underneath the glass, and he goes, you know, the veal chops, Justin from Argentina. They are the bomb. And you go, veal. Oh, I like veal. What do you got on skirt steak? Oh, we got some great skirt steak. Just came in yesterday from Montana. Skirt steak is one of my favorite. Marinated up a little bit. Fantastic. Lou will never say to you, you know, Elliot, it's a little long on the meat here, big guy. Your cholesterol is getting high. Why don't you go down to the fishmonger a couple blocks and have a nice piece of salmon? Right? He'll never do that. Why? His job is to sell me meat, and I go in, actually the same way I go into the Toyota dealership, because I like Toyotas, and I trust the salesman to sell me a good product if I trust him. And the fact that he's got my interest at heart vis-a-vis my expectations for selling me that thing. By the same token, when I go to see a dietitian, I know she's going to look at all of my labs, she's going to take all the measurements, she's going to run all of her analysis, and she's going to absolutely give me her best thinking on what's best for me. Whether she's a vegetarian or a meat lover, likes this, likes that, if she thinks I should be doing something differently, even if it's not good for her, she's going to give me an opinion that's for my interest. So what's the difference between a fiduciary and the brokers? Well, these are dietitians, these are butchers. It's that simple. Brokers are butchers selling product. Fiduciaries are dietitians looking after your health. The problem is most people think that their butcher is a dietitian. So when one of your moms or dads or friends calls the broker and says, you know, I got 200 grand, I sold a little piece of property, or I got some inheritance, what should I do with it? They're going in thinking they're talking to a dietitian, and they're really talking to Lou the butcher.
Okay, so now we're in that exact scenario. I walk in, I just got 250 grand here, Gregory. And what questions would you ask? How would it
even
start?
Well, it's inherited money. So here's my thinking on inherited money. We have to be careful with it because you've been given a gift of somebody else's life's work. So we don't want to just do stupid stuff with it. We don't want it to go away.
No new car.
Just right there, we're going to treat it different. And I'm going to express that because I'd like them to think so, too. And you know what? Most people really do. This isn't, let me go buy a sports car. Let me go take a trip around the world.
Boat.
Let me go to the casino. No. Or buy me a boat and a truck to pull it. You know, people typically are thinking of being careful with that money and doing the right things. They may need to spend some of it to catch up, do repairs, pay some bills, and I don't see anything wrong with that, but it is about doing the right thing. So starting off, I'm going to tend to be more careful. We would probably treat it as a 3 or 4 in money to we just don't want to expose it. But then and it's not about what I think, it's about what they think. So then we got to find out what's the purpose. You always hear me talk about what's the job of the money and how long does it have to work? So what that mean by job? What are you wanting it to do? What's the purpose? What are you going to have it do down the financial path for you? That help correlates it to what may we assign it do? How might we manage it? And then how does that correlate in with the other assets? I'll give you an example where a client came into that type of money and we turned it into income streaming money. It became a part of his overall plan, that inherited money, and we did safe things with it, but it really helped his retirement when he inherited that money from his dad. We had a caller last week that was calling in that lost a spouse, just kind of buy and hold on the money the past 5 years because she didn't know what to do with it. And now she's inheriting some more money. I don't know what I need to do, but it helped. And it might be $400,000 compared to the $250,000. But it depends on what age they are, where they're in life, what's the purpose, and make sure we do the right things by the from where the money came from and do the right things for the owner of the money now.
Well, the first question I often hear you ask when a caller has a similar situation, first thing you go to, do you have any emergency savings? If they say, yeah, you say how much. And if it's not enough, then we get that up to an acceptable level. So it may be that first $50,000 off your 250 grand that you inherited.
No,
it's
but
just going to sit aside in a bank account for a rainy day.
It does tie in with the purpose as well. What's that purpose? And if they are short on emergency money, we're going to talk about that as well. Kind of that's where I gave that example of when we correlated risk or say 6%, I said 200,000 of the 250 because I just don't think it all would be pushed to equities. And that's why I kind of gave that example of 200K.
Well, this CNN money columnist didn't ask about emergency money. Just asked about the age and asked about and talked about the stock market. Went straight to stocks and bonds. Nothing else.
Yeah, I had a couple meetings yesterday, and that's one of the things they've got to work on before they retire. And, you know, one was 3 years out. One's next year. Got to shore up emergency money.
Yeah, hey, it could be emergency money. You could have a bunch of credit card debt we need to resolve with this. So you get rid of a payment, maybe just pay off the end of a house. So you got an outstanding balance or on something else. Who knows? If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. Coming up in the next hour, Wes Blanchard, the official estate planning attorney, the Total Wealth Authority's in studio. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I am your co-host, James Parker. Still coming up on the show. Got to talk about the weekend markets. Had a big drop yesterday. We're going to try and explain that and what's coming next. In the last hour, we're also going to talk about our next Gregory Ricks Live events coming up this Wednesday. And this one is for women only. Financial education and advice tailored specifically for women. Widows, first wives, never married. Your money's depending on you, and you have some gender-specific financial issues that we're going to address in the last hour. Coming up in this hour, Wes Blanchard, our estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority, is in studio. So if you have any financial questions, or if you have any questions legally speaking about estate planning, wills, trust, power of attorney, probate, succession, whatever, you can go ahead and call him in. He probably knows quite a bit about fantasy football as well. I know you're all excited about that, Wes, but maybe we should explain a little bit of the Total Wealth Authority for our new affiliate over in Biloxi. What's up, Biloxi? Good to have you on board. We're really pumped about it. So, financial situation, 504-260-0995. Total Wealth Authority. Let's see here. This is the, what's the best metaphor for this? Justice League, right? We're sticking with that one? This is the Justice League for your money?
I think that's a pretty cool one.
All right. So, Gregory Ricks is the financial, the fiduciary who has expertise and sort of oversight of all worlds, but he brings in certain people who can use their specialties to address other angles. You're the estate planning attorney.
Correct.
Which one are you? So, does that make you Batman? Because you probably work most closely or most often with... Anyway, so Wes is the estate planning attorney. We also have a CPA firm, Jay Heath. It's Jude Heath and his wife, Jennifer. They are our CPA team, and they're fighting against taxes. And we say fighting against taxes because we're not benevolently going along with the flow on taxes. We fight it every step of the way, every deduction we can get, every write-off we can get, every, hey, maybe we need to restructure your business for tax purposes. That's Jude Heath's expertise. Then we have Dwell Nola, our real estate partners of the Total Wealth Authority. Tracy and Stephanie's are partners of their own boutique real estate firm here in the New Orleans area. Technically, they're in Metairie. But look, that's their go-to expertise. And then we have Dwayne Stein of Cross Country Mortgage and Mortgage Gumbo, which comes on after us on WRNO. He's our mortgage lender. He's the guy that's going to take that biggest investment that you make and make sure that you get the best deal on it. And there's a lot of stuff that goes along with that. What about a refi? What about a reverse mortgage? That's why we have him on board. So with that, we have Wes Blanchard in studio, estate planning attorney. How are things going there, Wes?
Going really well. No complaints here. Staying pretty busy. Trying to get my head back above water. As you guys know, we me and my wife welcomed a newborn, our first child, on the 24th. So we took I took about a week off or so to enjoy that, and still am enjoying it when I do have the time. But we're back on track now and getting clients through the door, obviously, and making sure everyone's getting their estate together, as my wife and I did. That was one of the first things when we got home from the hospital, that we went ahead and make sure we made the adjustments on our will and stuff like that, and had a friend of mine come over and notarize it yesterday.
So what's your baby now? 2 weeks old, almost?
2 weeks. He made 2 weeks on Wednesday.
How much sleep did you get last night?
I actually got a decent night's sleep last night. The wife was on night duty. I'll be on night duty tonight. So She allowed me to get a good full night's sleep so I could be somewhat competent here. I'm still lagging a little bit, but you know, the cumulative effect is still there. Right. But it's not as dire as it will be tomorrow morning or Sunday morning.
What'd you get Thursday night? Your last night on?
Last night on, I would say I got maybe a solid 3.5 hours. You know, if that. He just chops it up. It's 2 hours here, 2 hours there, and so. You never really get in the swing of things before you got to get up and help them out again.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I think my parents were brilliant because my mom had my sister at 18 and me at 20. You could handle it easier then. You didn't need nearly as much sleep at 20 years old that you do. You know, I got started pretty late too, and it makes it tough. Yeah, my baby just turned one, so I'm almost back to regular sleep, and this may be it for the rest of my life here. But then I do a morning show, so that kind of messes it up. Any big financial information from the estate planning world, from the news of the estate planning world? Any big changes that happened recently in the last month or so?
No major changes. You know, I was kind of perusing the internet this morning and last night, trying to, you know, make sure that nothing had popped up, and you know, nothing really strikes me other than, you know, the big fact that again throughout the week, and this is something that was sort of repeated in what I was reading this morning. Is the notion of taxes. And I told several clients this week, you know, that come in, and a couple of them, you know, their main concern was, look, I don't want to pay any more taxes than I have to. And if we can figure out a way to pay less taxes, estate taxes, then that's what I'm here to do. And, you know, the good thing is I'm here to tell you that the chances that you fall into that category, especially from a federal level, are so slim. Actually, on a state level, you're precluded altogether because Louisiana has abolished the state estate tax.
Yay.
So just to get that out there, it's a bit of a myth as far as...
it's actually great news.
Yeah, it is.
If you didn't know.
Right. Just to get that out there, it's kind of a myth. You know, when people come in and say, hey, I really want to reduce the amount of money that I have to give to Uncle Sam when I pass away. Well, look, if you're at the $11 million level, well, then you might have an issue, you know. But at that point, reducing the amount of money that you give away is probably a secondary concern. You're probably looking at, you know, tuition funding and legacy establishment and things like that. But long story short, the federal exemption level now is so high that the feds are not going to come after your estate and grab any money. You have up to $10.9 million as a couple and $5.45 million as an individual that your state has to be worth before they'll come and ask for any taxation on the value of it.
But we do often have people ask about that.
Yeah.
And that is because they don't know. And I'm really glad you started out with that today, because people don't know. And they're just assuming, well, I'm going to have to give more to Uncle Sam. So you really have to be significantly wealthy for that to factor in. Now, where does the tax problems usually come in? You're going to be taxed on wasn't or money that you inherited that tax was due and it wasn't paid. Or you're going to end up being taxed on qualified distributions that weren't properly beneficiary designated to that. That's where Wes and I can do a lot for you, is make sure everything's buttoned up and correct on that. And if you're using trusts already, to make sure those trusts are correct, that they don't create flaws.
Absolutely. And that kind of is a good leeway into sort of the next point that I want to make with regard to main concern. So having said that, most estates are not going to face any inheritance tax, be it from the feds or from a state level. Your next major concern is going to be sort of two-pronged. One's going to be making sure your assets go to who you want them to go to. And then secondly, if you're still thinking from a financial perspective, is how much is it going to cost to get my distribution to occur? In other words, do I have to go through a probate process? Do I have to go through a succession process? Do I own real estate in different states? A lot of folks that I meet with, they own real estate in Mississippi, or they might own some in Arkansas, or just a little getaway, you know, somewhere in Panama or Pensacola, they have a condo. And what they don't realize is you can't take care of the passing that on without opening a succession there, be it Mississippi, Florida, Alabama, Arkansas, wherever it may be. And so using trust and things like that are a good way to avoid a duplicate probate process, because once you do it in Louisiana for your stuff, you're going to have to do it again over there. Now you're multiplying your succession cost by two, and then you do it again for your spouse, and now you're up to potentially four different successions before you pass it on to your kids. So that's, you know,
a lot of billable hours sounds like there.
Exactly. And look, you know, that's, you know, I'm sure I'll catch a little bit of flack, but you know, at the end of the day, that's kind of what it's all about, is you find yourself in various positions. Whether or not you own real estate in different states is not going to be the determining factor. But you still want to make sure that, look, this money that I do have, let's get it on to the kids and grandkids without any, you know, unnecessary expenses. You can run in certain attorneys, depending on the complexity of the succession, do a percentage based cost. And so, you know, even if that's 1%, I mean, you think about, you know, including a home and maybe a significant bank account in your estate. And next thing you know, I mean, you're looking at, you know, a few thousand dollars just to get your estate settled, even if it was relatively uncomplex. So you kind of want to make sure you can manage that risk from a perspective. And using a trust is a great way to do that.
And it's good you're bringing up these interstate issues, because we just opened up the new affiliate in Biloxi. Any big difference in your approach if you go right across that Pearl River over there?
Yeah, and so Greg and I actually, we talked about this earlier this week, is so, you know, the entire issue that's presented in Louisiana is mainly centered around what happens if you don't have a will in place. And so if you don't, then, and Mississippi has this as well, I think their laws are a little bit more properly designed.
That's not an objective statement there. That's an opinion. You're not supposed to have an opinion. You're a legal eagle.
Yeah, you know, but I look at it like that. Just,
well, then I can say that. Yeah.
Yes, Gregory, you can say
it. It's a lot
that.
Simpler.
So the point here is when you're in Louisiana here and you pass away, we do the simple husband-wife example with two kids, okay? Husband passes away, no will. What happens to the husband's estate, his community property that he shares with his wife? Each is entitled to a half, okay? So his half now passes on to the kids rather than to the wife. The wife has this usufruct that lasts until, you know, she either dies or remarries. But the main issue, you know, is now you have a split situation. That doesn't actually take place in Mississippi.
Yeah, what's it called? The reverse right receivership, heirship, spouse?
Let's continue this when we... Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's continue this when we come back. I got more to say about it, and I want to do that comparison for the listeners.
All right, so...
In case you want to cross state lines to live.
Welcome. This is Wes Blanchard. Say hi to the new folks in Biloxi there, Wes.
How's it going, guys?
The estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap with Gregory Ricks. You're listening to us everywhere on iHeartRadio. When we went to break, I've got James Parker Coast here with me and Wes Blanchard of WJ Blanchard Law. He's part of our Total Wealth Authority. He's a estate planning attorney focused, focused. It's not really specialist, is it, accurate? Right. It is what he does, is estate planning. We went to break. We were talking about how the law at death, and you gave a description of dying intestate, means no will, and what happens. Okay, so what's different if he has a will but doesn't say what to do regarding usufruct?
So in that circumstance, what we're talking about here, remember, if he dies without a will, his community property is actually going to go to his kids. His wife would be entitled to essentially a statutory imposed usufruct. If he has a will, and let's say he says, look, I want everything to go to my wife, or hey, maybe I want everything to go to my kids, and there's no mention of any usufruct, then no usufruct is going to be imposed. That's just a full ownership disposition. So the same way, well, let's put it this way. What you're looking to do at that
point
is to
deal with statutory forced heirship.
Right. You want to address the issue that's undoubtedly going to come up without a will. So when you do that, generally you want to leave everything to your surviving spouse. And that is sort of like the main gateway. That's the first thing we typically need to address when I meet with clients who are couples. We need to address that right away. Rarely, if ever, does that change. In the case of blended marriages, that might change some, especially blended marriages that happen, you know, later in life. A lot of times, you know, each spouse will have a feeling of, hey, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. We've kind of done this before. Don't want to do that again. Let's just, you know, and both parties are absolutely fine with it. But for the most part, you want to get that sorted out right away. Only then do you say, okay, now the contingency comes in. What if I'm the surviving spouse? What happens now?
Holographic wills. That means handwritten. People typically butcher that up because they don't understand how to address usufruct. There's a case where we talked about, they went and saw an attorney, and I don't know why they didn't use the attorney to do it. Maybe they just didn't want to pay the money, or they were just too confused about it. But they wrote a holographic will, and everything was good except when they mentioned usufruct at the end of the sentence. So it changed the whole context of it, which means when the husband died, the wife didn't get what she was expecting, was total ownership and control of all the assets. Now, we've spent a lot of time here before the break and now regarding how it works in Louisiana. And you and I talked about this at lunch yesterday. And part of, I think this is like give attorney business laws. And that's the way, because you everybody here needs a will. And it needs to be addressed. Simple as that. Mississippi, do you have to have a will to make sure the surviving spouse gets anything? Before you answer that, it's in Mississippi and most other states, it's joint tenant with right of survivorship. So the kids don't get anything until both parents are done with the money. That's it. So why would you need a will in Mississippi? You really need to clean things up and specific instructions of what to do. And why would you need a trust? To bypass succession.
Exactly. I think so. When you're looking at it from a sort of a bird's eye point of view, the Mississippi laws sort of peel off that first layer of issues with regard to, you know, the succession of property, where in Louisiana it's going to go to your kids rather than your spouse. In Mississippi, it goes to your spouse. So you have that sort of one freebie, if you will. Somebody, one of the spouses gets a freebie, and then the other one says, okay, now it's time for me to get things in order, because, you know, if you want one child, or you care more about the grandchildren because your children are, you know, self-sufficient, only then can you want to start thinking about putting a will together. Look, I'm a big believer in having one regardless of where you live and what the default rules are. But I will say that I think in Mississippi, you know, the laws do give you a bit of a sort of, like I said, a freebie,
like a warning shot.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very good analogy.
But it's almost the reverse. Now, if you're wanting something done for some of the kids or some things done specific way, then you need a will to have that acted upon, other than just say, yeah, she'll do or he'll do what I want. Well, maybe not, but you can have that addressed and see that it fact. And then Louisiana side, it's going to be forced that way unless you do a will that dictates it being handled differently or along with the trust.
100%. Yeah, I agree with you. And I kind of want to switch gears a bit while we're talking about Forced.
You're going into Forced Airship.
I am.
I can smell it, right?
And, you know, I had a question about this week, and so I wanted to talk about it in particular. But what a Forced Air is in Louisiana, that's completely unique to this state.
They don't have it in any other state?
They don't.
They don't have Forced Airship?
No.
All right, well, define Forced Airship, especially for our new folks over in Biloxi.
Forced Airship, this, again, pertains just to Louisiana, but in Louisiana, it's a descendant of the first degree, meaning your children, who is under the age of 24, or if they're over the age of 24, has a physical or mental condition rendering them permanently incapable of caring for themselves or their estate at the time of the decedent's death. Okay, so that's a mouthful. Really, what that means is if the spouse passes away with a child that's under the age of 24, that child is considered a forced heir no matter what.
You can't write your kids out of the will.
You can't. I mean, there's certain conditions that allow you to disinherit them, but essentially they have to abuse you or literally murder you or be convicted of attempted murder or abuse and things like that.
But what if they're just some sort of, you know, one of the unfortunate addicts living under the bridge, and you know if you give them 20 grand, they're going to kill themselves with it?
They're 23 years old. They're entitled to something.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Well, then you're actually, with the description you gave, you could almost cross the line there, because if they are incapable of taking themselves handicapped in some way, you can't remove forced heirship ever.
Right. And so that's kind of, it's a conundrum, right? Because you're looking at now, so let's say they're over the age of 24. You would say, okay, maybe they're not a forced heir. Well, again, here's where that second part kicks in. If they have a physical or mental condition that renders them incapable of taking care of themselves, they can still be considered a forced heir. So does addiction count? Possibly. But
To medical side.
Exactly. Yeah. But what are the chances, frankly, of an addict admitting that I'm an addict just so that he can get money or she could get money? I mean, realizing what's in front of them, seeking out a lawyer. I don't know. I mean,
well, they probably don't have their finger on the pulse of the estate planning community.
So, right. So I think it's much slimmer. But I think the point is, you know, is there a line there? Yeah, there's probably a bit of a line. But, you know, truth be told, I think you probably are safe in just knowing the bounds start at 24 years old. As soon as that child is 24, they're not legally entitled to be in that will. And so I had a couple of clients say, okay, look, you know, one of my children is making more money than I could have ever imagined making in my lifetime. He's not going to need any of my money. Do I have to leave him something? I said, well, how old is he? He's 35. I said, well, good for him. And no, you don't have to leave him anything. If you want to leave your grandkids something, you can, but you're not required to do that either, you know? And so she was focusing then on leaving something to her daughter, who's, you know, just not doing as well as her older brother. You know, still doing fine, just not doing as well. Just know you wouldn't need it. So that's kind of something you want to clear up. And, you know, there are some different factors that go into forced heirship. But again, that's kind of the gist of it. Are they under 24? Or if they're over 24, are they physically or mentally handicapped such that they can't take care of themselves?
What's the Mississippi version of this?
There is none. That's what we were saying at the beginning, is this is unique to Louisiana. You don't see it anywhere else.
So you can write a kid out of the will when he's six.
For all I know, you know, I'm not a...
I hate that baby. He's not getting anything.
I don't claim to be an expert in any other state's law, that's for sure. But
6 months in, I've not gotten any sleep in 6 months. You're out.
I don't like that baby's attitude. He was gooing at me wrong, and he's getting nothing. My empire is going to the other kid.
Yeah.
Well, look, you're going to learn this soon, new parent. That thing that your parents were telling you, and you hear other people say, like, well, it's like trying to pick your favorite kid. You know, you can't have your favorite kid. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Wait till you have your second one. It could change day to day, week to week. Right now, I can tell you who my favorite kid is, but it may not be that way in a month. But you will have a favorite. So it could happen. Don't laugh about someone right now,
you're just
a kid.
Keep it a secret.
Well, I'm not going to say it on the. Well, all right.
Going to keep it a secret.
No, I was going to say it for right now.
You should keep it a
secret.
It could
change next week.
I know, but why should you tell?
No, it's Ellie. 504-260.
I'm trying to help him out.
0995. Wes Blanchard's in studio, our estate planning attorney. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
going crazy. I'm counting on a needle to save me. I drop it in a groove. Welcome. We go round and round.
This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Want to give another shout out, hello, salutations to our new affiliate over in Biloxi, News Talk 104.9 WBUV. Maybe you heard us this week. If you didn't, Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks has a weekday version, the daily wrap, and it's just a 1 hour market wrap. We give you what happened that day with your money and then a little education to go along with it and financial advice. The fun part is the call ins. But that's on every weekday, Monday through Friday, 7 to 8 p.m., right here on News Talk 99.5 WRNO, also on News Talk 104.9 WBUV out of Biloxi. And joining us for the weekday version is News Radio 1150 WJBO. But they're not with us on Saturdays. It's just us in Biloxi for now.
Well, there's iHeartRadio app, and we're everywhere. We have a national audience as well through that.
It's kind of weird because we've gotten quite a few calls from Biloxi and Gulfport before, and we haven't been on their station. I guess it's commuters. Our signal from 99.5 reaches there pretty good. But some of them must have been listening on iHeartRadio or something. But look, now we're on your air feed as well. So don't be shy. Even if you're from a different state, we'll be happy to get you some financial guidance. We do it all the time. Now, in studio with us right now, Wes Blanchard. He's our estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority. That's the team we've assembled to help you with all aspects of your financial well-being. And Wes is going to be with us in attendance at Wednesday's event. Women Winning at Life presents Gregory Ricks Live. This is a financial education and advice tailored specifically for women. Now, usually when we do a Gregory Ricks Live event, it's open to everyone. Get a lot of couples in there, but guys, you're not invited this time. We're trying this something different. Now, have you tailored your part of the presentation for women's specific estate planning issues?
I don't know that that's really something that is highly distinguishable, I think, between male and female. You know, altogether, what you want is an important estate plan. But altogether, you know, I wouldn't say there's been much of an adjustment, no, to be frank.
Okay. So he'll be in attendance with us along with the rest of the Total Wealth Authority. Widows, first wives, never married, your money is depending only on you. You're making all those financial decisions. But we're going to talk about what does Social Security look like for divorced and widowed ladies, because they have, you know, some different rules. Also, we're going to address some of the financial shortcomings, because women spend more time being disabled, helping those who are disabled, in home care as a caretaker, and then some things that are forgotten that could help either or, but we see this affecting women more: spousal continuation on your pension, spousal IRAs, beneficiary designations, a lot of things we talk about there, wills, trust, power of attorneys. But you're right, that's not really gender specific, but we do see a lack of a power of attorney paperwork having a negative impact on women more often than men.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. That's something that we had actually done a few packages of in the last few weeks here, is powers of attorney. And just so folks know, kind of the fundamental idea of powers of attorney is to designate a person to whom you are going to give certain authority regarding differing matters. So I think a lot of people's first experience might be a real estate transaction. You see that a lot where, you know, there's a buyer and a seller, and maybe the seller's already moved out of state and they have someone there on their behalf to make sure that all the paperwork can get signed at the closing. You'll see that. And so what they're doing is giving that person a power of attorney that is specific to that particular transaction. He or she will have the authority to sign for those sellers or those buyers, as the case may be.
Didn't we have to fill one out just so they could negotiate on our behalf? Was that part of the deal? Because I remember when we bought a house four years ago.
Yeah, it would seem like that's a pretty pretty standard, I would say, part of a real estate agent package.
I remember
it would make sense.
I remembered filling out a power of attorney. I just don't remember specifically what all it entailed.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. From an estate planning perspective, using powers of attorney, whether it's a financial power of attorney or a medical power of attorney, both of them together, along with a will, are sort of what is comprises the basic fundamental estate plan. Those three documents together kind of going to give you the starter's kit, if you will, for an estate plan. So just to break it down a little bit about what a power of attorney does, aside from giving someone else the power to do something on your behalf, it's important to note that powers of attorney, they die with the person. So powers of attorney are not like a will. Sometimes people get that confused. Wills, unlike powers of attorney, don't kick in until that person passes away. Powers of attorney can be active and live while that person is alive. And so that's an important thing to note. So, you know, I had a couple of questions that I fielded before. It's a guy that said, hey, look, you know, I have power of attorney over my brother and his accounts. I need to go get the money out and do such and such because he just passed away. And I said, wait, hold on. I said, that's, you know, your power of attorney is now invalid because he's passed away. Now his will takes over. And if he doesn't have a will within the laws of intestacy that are prescribed by the legislature, those take over. Your power of attorney is now revoked. That's important to note. Other than that, you kind of have a differentiation on when that power of attorney would kick in. You can have a power of attorney that kicks in immediately on signing it. So, James, if I wanted to give you a power of attorney over all my finances, I can structure one right now that when we sign it, you have it.
That'd be a great idea.
Wouldn't that be awesome? But there's also the power of attorney that's called, what some people call it springing. And that's just a term that can be a bit confusing. But essentially what it means is it doesn't take effect until that person is incapacitated.
Like one of these soap opera comas?
Exactly. Okay. Things like that. You know, and certain times, you know, physical incapacity and things like that can prevent you from being able to handle your finances or make sound medical decisions because of, you know, pain medication and things like that. But that's kind of, again, another differentiating point is, when does the power of attorney kick in? Does it kick in immediately? Does that person have control of these things that you've given him authority over immediately? Or does that person have to wait and say, hey, I can't do anything until he or she's incapacitated, until the doctor, essentially they give you a doctor's note saying, hey, this person is in need of some help here.
Is there some sort of power of attorney language that you can use where it kicks in, not when you're physically incapacitated or, but what if you just go missing? Either lost at sea or, you know, I'm on the back of a milk carton and I'm not dead. So if the hot redhead wants to access my bank accounts, can I just, if old Parker goes missing? What's the language for that?
Well, so powers of attorney can certainly be conditional. Again, the same way they can be structured for the specific real estate transaction, they can be structured for a specific amount of time. So if, let's say, you know, a lot of times you'll see them when folks go out offshore. They say, hey, look, you know,
yes,
he or she has this for the time that I'm offshore. When I'm onshore, everything's fine. But when I'm offshore and I can't do anything, if there's any financial emergency that needs to happen, you know, my fiance or my wife can take care of, you know, this separate account or whatever it may be. So you can definitely condition things like that. I guess you could be creative on the type of situations that you might, you know, think you could find yourself in if you're, you know, looking to get put in the back of a milk carton for 5 months, but come back on the 6th month, you know, yeah, I suppose you can structure something like that.
Do they still do that? They still put kids on milk cartons?
I don't know. I recently...
Do they still have milk cartons?
Yeah, they do.
I see them for the soy milk, but for regular old milk?
Yeah, the wife brings home some organic milk in milk cartons sometimes. That's the only reason I know.
So they have the organic mixing kids on that one?
Yeah. Okay. You know, again, now we're looking at the power of attorney. We've kind of discussed what they do, when they take effect, and under what terms they actually are active. The sort of last part of it is now going to be distinguishing between what type is it. You know, I break down powers of attorney into a financially based power of attorney and a medical based power of attorney. You see some folks who have one, and there's nothing really wrong with having both sort of crammed into one document. That's going to get the same job done. My preference for splitting them up really is for privacy purposes. I really don't see the purpose of having a medical institution know who you have appointed for your finances.
Yeah,
and
but
vice versa.
If I became incapacitated, I would like Gregory Ricks to handle my money. If someone needs to pull the plug on life support, I'd like for that to be the hot redhead. Or maybe Angie, our producer, she could do that.
Exactly.
But it would be written in, she has to physically pull the plug herself. Just wanted to live with that. Don't get all chippy over there. Hey, Wes Blanchard's in studio. He's our estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority. He will be with us at our next Gregory Ricks live event coming up Wednesday. We're going to talk a little bit more about that next. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. If you got a kiss on your lips, but you're looking for somebody to take.
Welcome back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, James Parker, and with Wes Blanchard, W.J. Blanchard Law today. You've got a few more minutes. This is live radio, 504-8, I've given the office number. Am I, where, two, yeah, 504-260-0995. I was going to try to give you the office number, and hey, if you want to talk to us during the week, it is 504-832-9200, so I've done that. Email us, Gregory at Gregory Ricks. But if you've got that legal question, you know, if you didn't go through succession, we get those a lot of calls on those, like, yeah, my mom died 5 years ago and we hadn't done anything. Well, you need to do something. Call West. If you've got a question, once again, 504-260-0995.
Yeah, and if you would like to confirm your suspicions about how devastatingly handsome we are, our next Gregory Ricks live event is coming up this Wednesday. I know you're thinking it over there, but this one's women only. This one's presented by Women Winning at Life. Have we even explained Women Winning at Life for the new folks over in Biloxi?
We haven't, but I think this is an exciting event. I do like the all women attendees, because remember the one you and I spoke at, what, probably early last year?
Yeah, it was about that time.
And we did a Q&A, and we didn't speak long, but then we did a Q&A, and we just, there were so many questions. It was fun.
Yeah, we had a blast. We had a really, really good back and forth with the crowd, and then, you know, we were quickly shuffled out of there so that they can continue on with their fun. But, yeah, after they had
yeah,
had
Ashley
their fill,
was
we
were, like, Time.
Tapping the
questions
watch on
gotta
us.
Stop.
Yeah. But we had a good time, and you know, I think we're looking forward to hopefully replicating that this time.
Yeah, so some of the things we're gonna do at our very first financial speaking event for women only, what you should know about Social Security and healthcare, and why you need to correlate them into your overall retirement strategy, how to protect yourself against financial risk, including divorce and widowhood, uncover 5 reasons you need estate planning, including a will and or trust, why you should be using a low volatility advisor. And then after the presentation, there's going to be a question and answer session. You get your financial questions addressed on the spot. It's this Wednesday, September 14th, 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. Call now, seating's limited, 504-832-9200. Now, what is Women Winning at Life, now that we talked about the event? Let's talk about the organization behind it.
Well, on a, what do I call this, bio for Women Winning at Life? It is specifically for women. It's Women Winning at Life is organized and directed and hosted by the founder, Stacy Ricks, which happens to be my wife, and my firm does sponsor and support.
Well, hang on.
That program.
Little more credit under there. She's not just your wife. She's the CFO.
Yes, chief financial officer of the firm. She has an auditing background,
and she can count beans.
Oh, she can.
Well, I've seen her go line by line through a spreadsheet like it was fun.
Oh, if she's got to write a letter to somebody, she's doing it in a spreadsheet. I'll tell you that. Me, I kind of like Word.
What? Yeah.
For that. Oh.
You can do that?
She doesn't. She said, I'd much rather do a spreadsheet if I need to write a letter.
Man, of course, accountants are so weird.
She said, it's easier that way. I don't see it. I'm like, more than trying to write notes in a spreadsheet's about it for me. It's a community of like-minded women. And here it kind of notes who are 45 plus, but we're not really age specific there. But where that comes into mind, and where we start talking about the statistics, and we did this on what was that the other day we covered where we were looking at women that were widowed, divorced, or single? Is a higher percentage beyond that age. So what we're getting to when it mentions that is we're seeing a lot of gaps in women's lives beyond that point. So it is kind of a focus to make sure we're connecting with them on their issues and their gaps in financial planning, wealth management, moving on towards that retirement phase. And there are a lot for women. You can argue, and I think the numbers justify it. A lot of cases, they're not paid. On average, they don't make as much as men. So it means Social Security checks are lower. If there's a pension, it's lower. And there's less money saved.
Yeah. We've noticed on the show, Wes, maybe you can back this up for us since your estate planning prowess comes into effect here. When we're talking about some of these issues, estate planning and wills and trusts and some of these other financial issues, the men a lot of times are asking, they're concerned about themselves and their spouse. But the women, whether or not they're married, they're almost always just concerned about the kids.
I do see a bit of that. I would say that's probably a little more common. It does seem that, you know, the men do have that sort of, male-based kind of, the kids will take care of themselves. They're self-sufficient. You know, that's what I
say about my kids. I'm leaving everything to the hot redhead. I'm taking care of her. That's my job. And we've actually, this is one of the rules of the house. I take care of you. You take care of the kids. And then the question is, well, who takes care of you, Parker? Well, nobody. That's why I'm such a disaster. That's why I'm going to die 10 years before she is. No one's taking care of me.
Yeah, but no, I guess I'll second that. I do agree that you probably see that dynamic a little more and I guess that's you know, more of a maternal instinct where you're kind of looking down the line a little more.
Sure.
Yeah, in bringing that up, and I'm that way too, everything goes to Stacy, and she'll take care of it beyond that. She'll take care of what I think should be done beyond me. I do get into meetings, and that's not the focus in some couple as far as the other side. I've got a number of female clients where the husband's not involved or a client, but the women are. And I've got a couple of cases where one specifically stands out because the wife had to step away, leave the room for a few minutes to take a break. And the husband and I had a discussion, pretty matter of fact, how I saw it and my take on it. He's never been back. But I was just speaking the truth of what he was and wasn't doing from an asset standpoint there. And I'm just always going to tell it like it is, and sometimes they don't want to hear it. But I'm there to look, and then if I have a bias a little bit, it'll be towards the women. But you know what happens 99% of the time? They're thinking like we are. Let's make sure she's taken care of, the kids will get theirs. You know, it's not less. Well, when I die, I want to make sure the kids get half of everything. You know, there was one discussion, and this probably comes up in your way as well, and it was probably will trust situation, and the guy liked usufruct, and actually he's wanting the assets to go to the kid. He said, yeah, I don't want to die and her go get a younger boyfriend or whatever, and they're enjoying my money.
She buys him a new car.
Yeah, I said, nah, this isn't Nashville. This is real life right here and now. And I said, here's my take on it, is I'm going to leave everything to her. And if she needs to go find another best friend in life, because she will be alone, I won't be there, then that's what the heck I want her to do. But I don't want to leave her in a position where she has to go find somebody to provide and to take care of the kids if that's necessary. That's why I'm not going to force that situation, but I'm going to allow her to be her and do the right things, and I know she will. If you can't, I wouldn't be married to her if I couldn't trust her at that level, but I surely would want her to be happy. Why? Be depressed for the next 40 years after I'm gone? No, indeed.
Yeah, there will be no fun after I'm dead. You will not enjoy life. You're going to get this money, and you're just going to stare at it. Now, one of the other things, the reasons we're having this event, Gregory noticed this years ago, and he told me, and once he said it, you know, you observe, and you're like, damn, this is true. When you get all the men out of the room, the women talk more. They ask more questions. They ask better questions. Wes, you've seen this. What's some of the change in questions? Did we ever figure out why the behavior difference?
No, I think that's probably, you know, more of a sociologist kind of job to figure out why that is. But I will say, yeah, you know, I think there is a bit of timidity, if you will, when the men are in the room, and then all of a sudden it gets that ball rolling. Somebody says one thing, and the next thing you know, it says, oh, you know, I had a girlfriend that saw this and had this happen with her children. And so, yeah, you do see a bit of it. But, I mean, I will say from my perspective, I always do make sure that I engage both people in that room. And so it can't just be if one of them's doing all the talking, there's still going to be eye contact with the other one and directing that conversation, because it takes two to tango. You know, you can't write a joint will. You can do a joint trust, but you still need to make decisions, you know, based on your own perspective. What if you're the sole survivor? What do you want to happen? Or what if you're the first one to go? What do you want to happen? And so it needs to be certainly a couple's discussion. But I will second that a bit, but I think you do need to have a plan in place to engage them. And I think that's part of what this event is about, is making sure that happens. Because as you said, you get meetings where only one member of the couple comes in, whether it's the woman coming in by herself or the man coming in by himself, you're only getting half the story.
We do a good job of emphasizing that and getting both in. That yes. is most of the time. And if one's not involved, and sometimes it's women are more in charge.
Correct.
But either way, you know, she or he gives that opinion, I'm going to look at the other and say, how do you feel about that?
Exactly.
To go to the event, reserve your seat, 504-832-9200, or go to GregoryRicks.com. Be right back.
Welcome to Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. This is our last hour. We do this 3 hours Saturdays, 10 to 1. You're listening to us on iHeart Radio. As well. What did you call that? Your air feed?
Yeah, the air feed.
The radio's like terrestrial, but... Hey, James Parker's here with me. If you have a financial situation you'd like some help with, the number is and will be 504-260-0995, or email me, gregory@gregoryricks.com, or use the Gregory Ricks and Associates app to message us.
Okay, so what happened yesterday? Stocks have been snoring since they made that Brexit bounce back. Remember Brexit? It went down, came back up, and then it's been sideways.
44 days with less than 1% move.
But it's even more incredulous than that. It's 44 business days. So you want to wrap in the weekends. That's two solid months of it staying in a very narrow range. And what happens or what's going on when that happens? That means everyone's waiting on something. That means everyone's about to spring into action. And when that happens, that means either spring up or spring down. The sideways can only last so long, and they decided we're going to spring down.
Oh, yeah. Volume increased a lot yesterday. It's like no volume to speak of. And compare, it's like Christmas week, no volume. And then yesterday, volume increased. The fear factor increased. We're talking about the VIX was up like 40%.
Yes, 40%.
Seriously.
Huge.
And just what that means is a lot of options are being bought on the market because they fear it's going to go down. So you have institutional firm, pensions, hedge fund. All of a sudden, the big money starts buying puts to protect their positions where this thing starts heading south.
Okay, so now the real question is, without even getting into any technicals and breaking down numbers, is this going to continue to go down? Not is this a downturn, is this the downturn? Or is this going to be another Brexit where we have a couple of days of negative movement and then it pops back up and it acts like nothing ever happened? Yeah, you know, like when you're walking and you trip on the sidewalk and you fall and you just spring right back up and start walking like nothing happened. You know, just assume no one saw that. That's what the market did after Brexit. It tripped and it fell, got back up. What? Nothing happened? No, I'm fine. No, I just had a little dirt on me over here. No, I'm just, nothing happened. I'm good. Is it going to do that again, or is this the downturn that everyone's expecting?
Going back to the three-day chart, looking at the three major indices, that's a significant difference yesterday where you had, or even you go back to, say, 5 days, and we can look at some of this movement throughout the day where you'll have it move down significantly, and then at the by the end of the day, it's up. So, you know, how do you open up, go intraday trading, be at 1% off, and then finish the day a 0.5% up? It's just crazy movement. Or we kind of have that sideways motion where it's not moving much over a tenth to a quarter point in either direction. And throughout the day, there's no big swings. And then you get to yesterday, and for the whole day, it's pretty much lower lows and lower highs, which means it's just, as the day goes, it continues down. That is a big shift, as you were referring to, over a two-month period. That's a big change. I think Monday's an important day to see if this does continue. You can't make a decision based on one day. And I'll talk about it on the daily wrap on Monday, because I'm going to look at the technicals this weekend and just kind of drill down a little bit and factor in what happens on Monday. Then we kind of have a better idea of where this is going. But when you go back and look at the last big dip we took, which was Brexit, and the beginning and end of that V is basically where we are now. So what do we give up? Kind of these sideways gains that it's meandered up to.
We're back to June.
Yeah. So we're back to June. So have we lost? You could say, yeah, we've lost something, but not really.
Yeah. Off all time record highs, losing a couple percent. Yeah,
you're just not going to set up there. And if this thing's going to make a run at higher highs and move to another level, you always have to have pullbacks from this. You could have a couple more down days, and then perhaps it'll change in a run. You'll look at the fear factor. The VIX could kind of give you a heads up. It did on Brexit. It definitely showed the change ahead of the change. Or we'll get indications that, yeah, this thing is moved down enough that it has broke down.
Well, if you kind of flatten and stretch that chart out, it looks not too dissimilar from the downturn we had to start off the year, the worst first month of a stock market ever. But it came right back, and it doesn't look that different. It just looks like it's more spread out over time. Same thing happened last August, beginning of last September, about a year ago, when there was a sharp downturn, and then after a few days, it just sort of recovered.
That's 1 year chart.
Yeah. So is this going to be a downturn? When are we going to get the big downturn? When are we going to have another 2008, 2009? When are we going to have another 2001? And it could be the same thing that caused the one earlier this year, the Fed.
And look, I'm going to tell you where I think it is. It's somewhere between 2017 and the end of 2020 or 21. That's where it is. And you're saying, well, that's the term of a next president. Yeah, it is. But these bubbles have blown up, and I'm not picking on any president. I'm not saying, well, it depends on this person winning or this. It doesn't. I think it happens either way, because we have price to pay for all this quantitative easing, this low interest rate factor. You've got housing that's kind of at a high level. The market's at a high level. And then you've got China with major problems. You've got the global debt. We talked about that on the Daily Wrap the other day. All this debt that we have globally, it has to be answered for. And then let's throw a what if, because the oil going down to $29 a barrel from, what was that high? 140.
Yeah.
So who would have thunk that? And we talk oil all the time through the years. And, you know, we were talking about filling up, getting, you know, we were just saying, was we're going to go get us some tankers if this thing drops to 60 and fill them up. We'd have been ruined if we had done that, which a lot of people did, because it's kind of expensive to keep those things floating, we'd still be upside down.
Man, I'm glad we didn't do that. We joked about it so long. Yeah, we're going to make millions of dollars. We'll be rich. Yeah, we would have totally eaten it. So this is all, is this all based on the most dovish Fed member, Gundlach, who's I've seen since we reported on this?
Well, see, let me just throw a little more. We have to have a recession. It just doesn't keep going. The Fed fights it and fights it. But where they've said they've also got to raise interest rates, you know, we've had Peter Schiff on the show, and he's kind of a gold guy, and he's pretty good at picking times. It'd be interesting to see what his take is on where he thinks the next recession is, but he flat thinks it happens after they pop us a few rate increases in a row. So being where the Fed says they're going, where they have to go, yeah, we're in 2017. Somewhere in that window, you could take a pretty good move downward.
But the market was, we're told it's all reacting to this speech that a dovish Fed member is supposed to give on Monday. Really, all this over, we don't even know the contents of the speech. We don't know what he's going to say. We can guess that he's going to talk about moving interest rates up, but really that's all it takes.
Well, there was comments made this, and I had already been telling you this, and I guess I could fight a battle with some. You were kind of resistant until I read you some of the notes and stuff from the Fed, and that they, I said, they can justify raising. I don't care what the numbers and what the job numbers come in and what usually, because that's what was said yesterday, is we can justify a rate increase. Just like for all the reasons, and they came up with all kind of reasons not to rate, when they said flat out, if we have inflation at this mark and the job numbers get to this, we're raising rates. Well, we've been way beyond that, and we've only had one hike. So they're this is preparing you for what's coming. You think they just, the Fed, and then you're assuming that the Fed, all these governors and chairman and vice chairman, all that, that they can just, they have this job, and because they have it, they can just go on TV and radio and just say what the heck they think. I don't think so. I think it's organized and planned, and it's vetted before they go on the air. And they're preparing you for what's coming. If they're a loose cannon, they won't keep that job.
Okay, so what if the guy is thinking about raising rates and he wants to tell the world on Monday? He wants to go out there and he wants to say, listen, everything's doing good. That jobs report wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. The stock market's at all-time high. You know, we're being pretty stable. There's a lot of good reasons to raise that rate. And just the idea that he's going to have a speech causes the market to dive. Doesn't that change his math? Does he still have to give that speech? Does he have to go change the wording of the speech? Okay, maybe we're not as solid as I thought.
They're not supposed to worry about the stock market. And then the stock market's so high. Yeah, what if it gives some back? It's going to come back up. This isn't 08. Yeah, you're going to get a correction, and it's probably going to be larger than the previous one, which was larger than the previous one to that last year. But just say it moves down 15 to 20%. Look at where it's at. And why is it up that high? It is because of the Fed at zero interest rate. So you know what? There's going to take some pain to readjust. And that study they kept referring to in her Jackson Hole speech, I think they've seen that, yeah, we're probably causing some of the problems and the slow GDP. There's no interest out there on people's money. And they also come to the conclusion of is $4.5 trillion in bond buying, that printing of the money is like a negative 9 interest rate. So combined with reducing rates, they really created a problem that they're behind the curve on getting out of.
If you have a financial situation, you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. You can email us, gregory@gregoryricks.com, or you can send us a text message via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
I know everybody says
Money can't buy happiness, but it can buy me a boat. It can buy me a truck to pull it. It can buy me a Yeti 110 eyes down with some silver bullets. Yeah, and I know what they say, money can't buy everything. Well, maybe so, but it can buy me a boat.
Love that song.
They call me redneck, old white trash, and blue collar. But I can change all.
Okay, hey, we had a blast the other night. This is Winning at Life Weekly Wrap with Gregory Ricks and James Parker. We had a big birthday bash for WNOE.
Yeah, our iHeartRadio sister station out of New Orleans, the country station, WNOE, hosted a party at Champion Square on the little steps coming down from the Superdome. So that's always a cool backdrop. You know, if you're the guy on stage and you're looking out, not only do you get 6,000 of a bunch of crazy Gulf Coast country fans, but you can look, some of them are sitting up the steps leading to the Superdome. And then there's a Superdome that was all lit up. And at the beginning, or in the middle of the concert, the sun was setting behind the Superdome because we were facing west. It looked like a postcard. It didn't look real. It looked like a movie set.
So it was Justin Moore, Brantley Gilbert.
And Colt Ford was the opener.
Colt Ford was opener. I don't know. I missed that part. But got to meet the other two dudes as well. Great guys. Great show. Had a lot of fun.
And the good thing is...
And it was Stacy's birthday, so it's like there was a big bash for her birthday,
Stacey's,
my wife.
Happy birthday, Stacy. Forgot to mention that on the air until now. Happy birthday, Stacy.
She had some fun.
Well, look, the reason we miss Colt Ford is because we were where we deserved to be. We were in the VIP at lounge, you know, just hanging out, getting the $9 beers. What kind of very important person am I that I'm still paying $9 for a beer?
You're very important because you can pay $9 for a beer.
Yeah.
Everybody's important if you'll pay $9 for a beer or a wine.
It's just funny for me because, you know, I'm from the sticks, from a horse ranch in the middle of nowhere, nothing, no neighbors, nothing. And now to be the guy where there's thousands of people here, it's like, I cannot be with the common people. I've got to be over here with the important people. I'm above this now, and I can't go back. I can't go back.
Yeah, this should be our weekend. Brent, we got our theme song. We got to play that on Saturdays now, the weekend. You know, I was having a conversation, let's say college-age kids, regarding beer. And I was kind of explaining to them craft beers, you know, the micro beers that just really have good flavor. And they're like, nah, we're not interested. And then they start, well, this is what we like and buy. And then I realized what it comes down to for the college crowd and beer. Price.
Yes, of course. That's what it's all about. I don't care if it's beer flavored water. Is it $12?
Does it have alcohol?
Yeah, for a 12 pack. That's my cutoff. I don't pay more than $1 per beer. So I don't care if it's Natty Ice, Milwaukee's Best, whatever.
Yeah. So I was trying to explain to them, you know, it tastes good, great flavoring, and when I travel around the country, I'm getting the local brews, and they're. Nah, just what's your lowest price beer? That's what I'm having. And then I think back to that. Well, that's probably what you and I did in college as well. Hey, we touched on the markets real quick. In case you were disconnected, the Dow was down negative 2.13%. It closed at 18,085. The S&P was off 2.45, closed at 21.27. And the NASDAQ was off 2.54% at 51.25. Yeah, oil was up on Thursday and back down yesterday. Gold was down. Silver was down. Everything was down except the VIX, which was up 40%.
Oh, the sweet little VIXie. That would have been a good ETF to hold yesterday. Hey, so we were talking about that stock market drop that you just spelled out, if it was going to have any effect on whether or not the Fed raises rates. This is the context we need to remember when we talk about this. The Fed has raised rates between September 1st and Election Day just one time in the last 40 years. It was a bump of a quarter of a percent by Alan Greenspan on September 21st, 2004. They just don't do it.
And he regretted it. What year was it he did it?
2004. He said he regretted it. I don't remember that.
Well, you know, he did a series of interest rate hikes and popped a bubble. And the one thing he remembered from that is don't be the one to pop the bubble. So nobody wants to pop the bubble. So they're all so tell me, how do you keep everything perfect and make interest rate changes? Can you make interest rate changes and not affect bond prices or treasury prices?
No, definitely not.
You cannot. So then that, because that changes the pricing structure. It's the yield, and then it's affecting equities. It affects equities. If we had higher interest rates, the market is not at this level. Everything's based on what you invest in and what is it going to give you in return. We can make it as simple as that. So if we have higher return on no risk tools or bonds and interest yields, then CDs, equities aren't at that price. So no matter what their decision, no matter what they worry about, they're affecting things. And maybe they'll wake up and get about fixing it, because we need higher interest rates, and this affects what the banks borrow money at, which translates into what they loan it to us at, and that pushes all interest rates up. But the other thing that we're bringing into this, and we hadn't mentioned, that was in her talk, and going back to that study again, is they know they've got to raise interest rates up. They've got to do a series. And if the things come off the rail, which say a recession would be, they're not lowering interest rates, but they will do quantitative easing, because the study showed that's the equivalent of lowering interest rates.
I'm not sure how much I buy that study.
But
that's what they're going to do. There's no doubt they're going to do it.
Way too much to not go down that road. Now they're rolling out the guys to prepare you for it, and the market sold off. And I don't think the speech changes on Monday, so this shouldn't be a surprise if the market continues down.
Maybe the bubble should be popped. Maybe the bubble should have been popped in 2008, and we should have learned our lesson and stopped inflating it. All we did is inflate another one.
Yeah, or you deflate it so it doesn't pop. Couldn't this be, you know, okay, do we just want to blow things up and have an 08?
You can't do that.
Or would we like to have a 15 to 20% correction instead of a 40?
I don't think you can let the air out of a bubble slowly. Can you deflate a balloon, or you just poke it with a pin? You're like, is there a knot you can untie and so slowly squeeze the air out?
It's like, do I nudge the bear or leave it alone or poke it? It's not good. It's going to happen whether or not you try.
I kind of want it to happen because, I'm sorry, stock market. I'm sorry, Wall Street guys, and I'm sorry people who are linked to it so heavily with your investments. But the only reason stock market's that high is because the Fed has decimated all other yield around it. It's the only place you can really go now and get any sort of yield over a couple of percent.
Well, the other thing... Look, you were talking about this chart. We're going to talk about it on the air because I'll throw
Heck
in one.
Yeah, I love this chart. Explain
and,
it.
And I'm sorry we can't show it on radio, but that's part of what we're trying to get to, is where if you're watching Periscope, Facebook Live, GoToMeeting, is what we're trying to get integrated in the show so we can show you charts or have it on the web page for you to go to and look at this stuff. So apologize we're not there yet. But one thing they're not telling us, and I think would scare the bejeebies out of everybody, is what it is. We stay at this low interest rate and things come off the rail, because you've got to understand interest rates are lower now than before they did the last rate hike. So we had a quarter point end of the year, and we were close to almost 2% on 10-year treasuries, and yesterday it closed at 1.6 range. So it was up a bit in yield. Let's see. So what they've not told us, and this goes with your talking about this chart and the GDP, is they only want to tell you the positive or try to get you thinking really positive and not always tell you the truth. And the reality is they raise rates and interest rates are lower. So can they lower interest rates? Because things will get really, really, you think things are ugly locally and globally and not so good here because 1% GDP. Think about how disastrous it would be with negative interest rates. And I think that's part of what they're really worried about is at some point, yeah, we're going to have an inevitable problem and we cannot have interest rates going bad. And what was that description the other day we used on the Daily Wrap? It's like, okay, I've got a store. I'm selling chewing gum for 50 cents, but now the market has changed. You come in and I got to give you a nickel to tote the chewing gum pack out of my store. That's what negative interest rates are.
Right. And when that happens, you're going to run out of bonds soon. Just like
I'm going to quit selling chewing gum.
Yes, yes.
So I'll toss it out the back door and burn it before I keep giving away my nickels.
It would be cheaper.
Yeah.
Save you more money. So the chart we're looking at, we have the GDP estimates for every year and then how they get revised as the year goes along. Every year they started at about 3% and they ended up with reality being far below that. You mean every year for the last 6-7 years, they've been a little too optimistic and they've had to revise it down? Well, gee, that doesn't sound like an honest assessment of the fact. It sounds like someone's biased.
They can't scare people.
No, stop. It's safe. Come on in. The water's warm. Don't worry about the piranhas. They're not here anymore. They're in the deep end. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker, and you're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Those stars need to be whisked on. Your skin needs to be kissed on. My eyes, baby, they're fixed on you in your snapback. T-shirt and your favorite rock band. Checking your makeup in my Ray-Bans. Breaking hearts like only you can.
That's...
Come on, baby, shoot a smile at me. Midnight selfie on a balcony.
That's Old Dominion, Snapback. Have you got you a Snapback?
I do. I have a couple. My favorite is a Schlitz. It says Schlitz
That's
on it.
That's a college beer.
Well, it's a trucker beer. It's a white trash beer. It's a hick beer. It's a lot of good things.
It's not a microbrew.
They still make it, though. No, it's not a microbrew. They don't make an IPA or anything. No, it's awesome, and it's all kind of faded because it's old as hell now, and it's got the trucker mesh in the back. It looks real trashy. I love it. And it says Schlitz on it.
That's James Parker. This is Winning at Life. You're listening to us on iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks.
You got a snapback?
I don't have a snapback.
You don't have one snapback?
I don't. It's all Velcro strap. I went and looked. I was like, I don't even have a snapback. I have to fix that. I have to find me a good snapback, maybe a Corvette, Porsche.
You need to buy more of your wardrobe from gas stations. That's what I do. What my favorite T-shirt I got at a gas station in Gulfport. It looks ridiculous. It's got like a bear and a deer and a duck. And people are like, why are you wearing that? It's how bad the shirt is. People question me for wearing it.
Have you seen the back of my T-shirt today?
I don't tweet, and it has, looks like a Jimmy Buffett parrot on it. See what you did? Tommy Bahama?
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah, we got to do a financial radio show. We're talking about our wardrobe selections here. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that.
You could tell we've done this a long time together. We've been friends a long time, done this show. If you're just tuning in, over 6 years, the Saturday version. The weeknight show Daily Wrap we started back half of last year.
Hey, can you give like a quick summary? We don't have a whole lot of time to do the full story, but just for the people that didn't hear it on the weekday version, tell the story about the Wells Fargo ghost accounts. Just a few million ghost accounts. Nothing big here, nothing to see. Oh, you got to have your paperwork for this? We got this memorized at this point, don't we?
Yeah, it's a $185 million fine. They let go of 5,500 employees, and basically they're... What would you call it? Loading accounts? What we found out, the culture. And then if you opened up a Wells Fargo account, they'd make sure you had a checking account, not one, but two, three, or four that make sure you had your credit card and debit card and maybe another one of those as well. Turned out they would get bonuses and all by having more accounts, which also, and earlier this week when the news broke, I have a source that had worked there for a period of time, and they said one of the reasons they did that is it also made the account sticky. What it means is hard for the account to leave if it has all those things. But they did not just say, you should have a checking with us and have your credit card with us. Not that. They said, you should have several checking accounts. And this, and they were doing this whether the client wanted or not, they would establish those and do multiple ones. And it turns out it came from top to bottom because we talked about employees that have been terminated saying, hey, they all knew.
They told us to do it. My boss was yelling at me for not opening enough ghost accounts. And dang it, you didn't know, you didn't get enough. So we missed our bonus, which means I didn't get paid for it. And now I'm mad at you. So this wasn't some rogue guys out there trying to manipulate the bonuses. This was actually systemic. You, more times than not, when I hear people use the word systemic these days, they're not talking about something systemic. They're talking about something they wish was true that's not true. Now, this is actually true. No, this is actually a pattern throughout the branches, throughout the regions, throughout the whole company. And, you know, I imagine the people who are saying right now we're going to see more layoffs and probably more fines. This isn't the end of it. I think there's a little bit of merit to that. Do you think some shoes are going to continue to drop on this? Because, I mean, 5,500 people getting fired is a lot. But, I mean, if it really is systemic, then they're going to have more guilty people on their hands.
Oh, I think you're going to have employees suing that were terminated because they're going to come back and say, hey, this is what we were coached to do. And some of them's careers could be affected. This is a negative on those that were financial advisors and such being terminated for cause. That is not a good thing. And then and management for it to go from top to bottom. Yeah, and that was one of the quotes I read last night from an article. And you're going to see more stories come out on this. You'll probably have a lot more on Monday. But they're just saying, yeah, they were in my face fussing because I was not producing enough numbers. So there go. Open more accounts.
Okay, Gregory, did you see here, just another quick aside out of the financial world? Sort of. Amazon is now in a race. They're seeking sports rights. Now, this is interesting because that's one thing you can't get on Netflix. That's one thing you can't get on Amazon Prime. That's one thing you don't get in the on-demand, at-your-fingertips world is live sporting events. No one cares about a sporting event delayed. But Amazon is actually going to make the leap in there. Netflix has repeatedly said, not interested. We're not interested in football, basketball, anything. Not, it just doesn't fit in. Amazon's thinking about that.
That's going to be tough to break into because that's one of the mainstays of TV. What draws the highest right fees? Sporting events. Why, when you're watching a baseball game, are you going to record it and watch it later? It's surely going to get blown up because everything. What? You just gave me the score? I was going to watch it tonight. See, it's an event you've got to be there for. It's not like you're going to go watch the presidential debate and, oh, darn, oh, you blew it for me. Hillary really got him. And no, you can watch that later, but to watch the baseball game or the Saints game tomorrow, you got to watch it live. And guess what? That means you're watching the commercials. This isn't a TV show drama. So how would they translate that to radio or pry that away?
You mean the streaming?
Yeah, and the streaming that takes away from the major broadcasters that hold that, which ESPN, the major networks, such as that. And then in baseball, it's controlled really by the teams controlling their local markets. NBA, I think it all goes through the NBA.
The
and
NFL.
The team. And they're not wanting the guys that is Amazon really willing to pay more than TV to wrestle that away.
Oh, no,
or to get in on that deal.
It would be...
You can't take away from the networks.
Right. Ooh. Well, the NFL right now streams their own games. Now, they own it, and it's their baby, and it's their servers that are doing the streaming.
Yeah, but when they started the NFL Network, we're doing games, and they put it on NFL Network, guess where it's at now, those games? On major networks. Even that, they don't want to mess up that gravy train, and the advertisers and the networks are selling advertisers, and they know they've got the numbers. These people... The commercials are there. They're sitting in front of the game with their beer and popcorn, hot dog, burger, and they're watching the commercials.
Are we going
to get to see 50 Bud Light commercials?
Are we going to get to the point, though, where there's enough people who are unplugged that the NFL has to go get these people and they have to use it to supplement what's still going on the networks?
Yeah, because it comes down to money. Somebody's going to be paying.
See, so
if you want to unhook from commercials, you're going to pay. You're not getting streaming for free. They're not giving that away. They have too much demand because if you're a fan and want to watch it, you're going to go watch it.
This would be an incredible coup, though, Gregory, because part of the reason so many people haven't unplugged is because they're going to miss the Saints game, because they're going to miss their favorite sporting event.
Well, That's something- may do it, but they're going to take the feed that has all the advertising on it.
Oh, sure.
You're not getting it commercial free or whatever. Well, so you're getting in that mix, and you got to protect the ones that spend the biggest money too.
Oh, you'll still get all the commercials. That's the beautiful thing about it. And it's fun watching this evolve in front
of
our face.
And then if they do it in a way that way, they can get more out of the big commercial spenders, because now you're airing on all the streams and your commercials, and the stream is giving us money because they're wanting it run through their system, and they'll be given some time too.
You know, live sporting events do really well as far as real time watching and people watching the commercials. News, not like the debate, like you mentioned, your example's perfect, but you know, when the newscast comes on, no one watches that stuff delayed. Rarely do they watch it delayed. That
except Stacy on channel 15 in our market. There's
just constantly repeats
yeah. There, but news is like, that's why I like running spots on the news.
You know what else people watch live? They will DVR it and watch it later again, but they also watch it live. Award shows are somehow in that category with news and sports,
and that's why, or you know, like MTV Awards
or the Oscars
yeah. And stuff like that. That's why those are popular.
Man, people watch those commercials. All right, I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. 504-260-0995. Be right back.
It's a little too loud on the highway. I wanna pull back in your driveway.
Hey, this is where you can get your financial fix. Every weekend from 10 to 1. Weeknights on the Daily Wrap from 7 to 8. And you still have a few more minutes if you need some help or to get that financial fix. Phone number is 504-260-0995. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks and James Parker, and you're listening to us on iHeartRadio.
And when people turn into my show for the first time, or our show, I should say, for the first time, you do a financial show, I want to listen. They expect us to be talking about stocks and stock picking and who's up and should he buy Amazon or no, you should sell Apple. And that's what they see on TV. That's what's on Bloomberg and CNBC. They're talking about specific stocks. Should you buy, sell? Here's a sleeper stock. Here's one with a good dividend that has a bunch of good upside. We didn't do that for 1 second today. We rarely do that. And here's a couple of statistics. Why? Let's bet on last year's winners. Let's take that. An equal investment taken at the end of the trading day on New Year's Eve of last year for the 10 best performing individual stocks in the S&P 500 last year, you would be down 2.3% year to date from there. If you bought the 10 best performing stocks from last year, you would be losing money.
And you would think that would be, God, that is a plan. Why don't we do that?
That's why
and
you
that's
don't.
That's why you don't do that.
And it works just as bad in reverse. If you bet on last year's losers, an equal investment at the end of the trading day on New Year's Eve of last year in the 10 worst performing individual stocks in the S&P 500, you'd be up how much? You would be down 2.3% if you took the 10 best. If you took the 10 worst,
you're up 0.5%.
It's higher than that.
What is it?
40%. 40.2% year to date.
So is that the game plan? Now we go buy the worst each year?
That sounds like a horrible idea, though. Like, you can't bet on that. You can't. That's not going to happen every year, is it? So we just don't mess with that. That's why. You know, loss averse. This is why we're loss averse. This is why we're not talking about buy Amazon, sell Google, look at Alphabet, get Exxon. Well, no. That's a much too dangerous game. And you just don't know. What's the line?
We just don't know. And I'll throw that in there. That is an ongoing disclaimer, disclosure, whatever, is like, well, when do you think the next recession is going to be? What do you think this market's going to do on Monday? I'm going to give you my take, but ultimately, we don't know. And that's why you've got to talk about risk, why you've got to talk about your pain threshold. And if you follow one of those strategies and it goes off the rails, you need to put a stop to it going the wrong way against you. You've got to have a limit, or maybe you should have a stop order. Oh, well, I don't want to watch it that close. Well, then you need somebody to actively manage it, means actively watch it, not be trading in your account every day, every week, or every month, but actively managing it and get on the same page of what you're holding, what you're buying, and stuff such as that, you know, instead of going in picks. And look, we can give you 50 picks. Half will be right, half will be wrong. It's the wrong ones you have to minimize and maximize the ones you get right and find something else to buy.
How do all these people do it, though? How do you see the stories of these guys who were day traders and they did it on their own and they struck gold and now all of a sudden they live in a big house, fancy car, and they're like, yeah, just got to strike them while the iron's hot, you know?
You know, there was a study I read that on the gurus is they hit it right for a period of time, but the systems don't work all the time. Are we in a buy and hold world?
No.
No, indeed. The past 18 months are completely different from the previous 7, or call the past 9 years completely different from the previous 80 years of the market. And one thing is things change and how you need to make selection. I'm more technical in buying and I'm kind of saying, hey, I hate losing money, but I want to ride the ones that are making money up there. And it's just ongoing. You got to develop core philosophy, core strategies, core rules in management out there. And we talk about individual stocks, but I'm also, well, when we do, and it's just like, oh, the VIX up 40%. That's cool. Are we holding it? Yeah, we're holding a little bit in one of our strategies. So with VIXY, and I think, what were we up, like 20% net yesterday or 16, something like that. I'm not sure offhand. I'm aware of it from yesterday, but I'm not worried about it today. And I'm not telling you to go buy it because it could also go down 20%. It's more of a fear. If you're using the VIX, it's a short-term play to do that. And one of the things we've talked about when we position it, we hadn't always talked about the VIX, but I kind of did a whole kind of little mini education on how it came about and was developed and the reason for it. And it's a fear indicator. But one of the things we had talked about is how low it was. And I don't know, what was this? How many weeks back? It hadn't been but a few weeks. And I said, this thing is going to spike. Look at it. It doesn't stay below 12 for a long time. And it's going to. And what did it do? Spiked up.
Well, it popped hard yesterday. 40% jump in one day.
That's what I told you was coming at some point.
Good old VIXY. All right, let's spend the last waning minutes of the show here talking about the event coming up on Wednesday, but some other events that we want you to be aware of. You know, there's an event today, the Jefferson Council on Aging Senior Moments event. It's at the Chateau Country Club today. For information on that, jcoa.net. Tomorrow, Stars on the Water. This is a relief benefit for the victims of the flooding up in the Baton Rouge, Denham Springs, all the way over to Tangipahoa area. That's tomorrow at the West Wego Farmers Market. That's our, what's the cute little girl that sings so well?
Amanda
Faith.
Shaw?
No, Faith.
Oh, Faith. Faith in the Music?
Yes. Yeah. Their headline there. That's at the West Wego Farmers Market tomorrow in the afternoon. Gleason Graw is coming up 2 weeks from today at the Gleason House, gleasongraw.org. But really, the event that's going to blow them all the way is the Women Winning It Live presents Gregory Ricks Live coming up this Wednesday. Women only. If you're new to the show, we do this about once a month or so. Yeah, you're invited to come in, meet the team, get a presentation from us, have some questions answered. There'll be a little bit of food involved, and it's excellent food. Thank you, Ruth, Chris. But for people who are just walking into the show for the first time, what's happening on Wednesday?
We're just going to talk about what's going on. It's going to be a women-focused event talking about their issues, how we relate. We're going to do a Q&A. Actual Q&A, and I don't typically do that at events, but we're going to do the survey at the beginning to make sure we hit the talking points that they are there for. And it's a break bread together. There is a fee to attend, $10, but we're going to match it. I don't know if they may not have told me the charity, but we're going to announce the charity there that night as well.
Just to give an example of why we have a woman focused event. Let's just talk about what Social Security looks like for a divorced person or for a widow.
Women outlive men. They live longer. They have gaps. They're more vulnerable from an income standpoint. And we want to maximize income and make sure that they're in position for what's coming. And the way we look at it, they inherit all the money anyhow. So they should be looked out for.
So women, this is for you. Women Winning It Live presents Gregory Ricks Live. And you want to be part of this program anyway because they have other great events, fashion shows and wine tastings. And it's just a whole little society where you look. What was this other statistic I had? Only 1 out of 7, Gregory, 1 out of 7 workers have accumulated retirement assets of at least $250,000. So if you are in a position where you actually need a financial advisor, most of the people around you don't. 6 out of 7 of them don't. It's hard to find like-minded peers in similar situations. And who do you talk to when you have a question about, you know, powers of attorneys or setting up a trust? Are you going to talk to people who aren't in your position? That doesn't help very much. And it's just nice when you're around people who are in the same situation, the same station in life, facing the same problems. You can get advice from them or you can help them. It's just...
That's why we have a female investment advisor on our staff as well. And a lot of our service team are females and can relate to that. So they're involved in the process. I have an 11-person support staff. We want to make sure you're taken care of, communicated with. And, you know, I get that story. Well, you know, it's not her thing. She's not interested. You know that story I usually tell.
Absolutely.
I always pick somebody out in the audience that's a couple, and I'll point to the wife, and I'll say, well, look, if you got up this morning and you went through the house and on the breakfast table, there's $250,000 there just kind of stacked up, different denominations. Is it not your thing? You said, well, you know, it's just money. Let me go about my day. Are you going to say, honey, what's that $250,000-ish doing on the breakfast table? He's, I don't know. I don't know what to do with it. I'm just going to leave it there for a while.
Yeah, it's just what we're going to live off of the rest of our life.
How long would it take you to say, well, hey, I know something I can do with it.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds like you are interested in finances.
Yeah.
All right, so Women Winning It Live. To reserve your seat, call the office, 504-832-9200, or go to GregoryRicks.com and the Gregory Ricks & Associates app. You're home away from the show. New people listen. GregoryRicks.com and the Gregory Ricks & Associates app. We'll be back to do this on Monday at 7. I'm James Parker. This has been Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is copyrighted by Gregory Ricks for the private use of our audience. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without express consent by Gregory Ricks is prohibited.